This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world. Today on Dreamland, we have two of the most extraordinary people I know. First, the director of Ciro International, director and founder of Ciro International. Ciro is the Close Encounter Resource Organization. Ciro is located in California. It has been running for quite a long time. Yvonne, when did you found Ciro?
Oh, gosh. It was about a year after I started my work. So we've been in existence now for 27 years. I've been doing my work with abductees for 28 years. So, but I can't believe all that time has gone by already.
Well, it has, and I can assure you, I know it has, too. I just tried hiking for 6 hours at 5,800 feet with my kids. Oh. I was, of course, the only one that got chased by a bear, but that's typical.
Oh, no.
In any case. And we also have with us Steve Neal, one of the most remarkably prolific close encounter witnesses I know. Prolific in the sense that Steve has an awful lot of experiences, including, I believe we talked about this the last time you were on the show, Steve, an actual experience, a close encounter experience, not a close encounter, but a UFO flyover that happened while you and I were talking on the phone happened to you then. Incredible.
That's correct.
Stuff.
And
Steve,
it has since come back.
It has come back.
Yeah, it did.
Well, Steve is an artist as well, and we're going to be talking about the art of Steve Neal, which you can see by going to his blog, stevenealsart.blog, and there is a show of Steve's art coming up in August the 24th from 6 to 9 p.m., at his studio in Ventura, California, and you can get all that information off of the site. The studio is a trip in itself. Among other things, Steve created the Dr. Spock ears. So he has a long history in art and in special effects. So there's a lot to talk about today. Now, Yvonne, I want to start out with the question I don't think I've ever asked you on this radio program. You've been on this program a few times.
Yes.
When did this start? Why did you happen to gravitate toward this super weird corner of the world anyway? I mean, it's a corner of the world with people like me and Steve Neal in it, and yet you took a serious, like, what in the world possessed you to do that?
Oh, gosh, it's something I never planned, of course. I mean, I was living a pretty normal life, but my mother actually had invited me to go to at that time, it was late 80s, to the Whole Life Expo in Pasadena, right where we live, you know, 20 minutes away. She knew about Bud Hawkins, and she wanted to see him lecture, and so we went together, and as I was watching the lecture and the slide presentation, I was just riveted by what he was saying. And I started looking into the UFO phenomenon in more detail. And then before I knew it, I attended hypnotherapy college, you know, thinking and feeling, okay, this is a very unique tool. I'd like to work with cancer patients because my uncle that I was very close to had died of cancer at 41 years old. And I really felt like, oh gosh, if I knew this, hypnotherapy, I could have helped him. But it just, without sounding too woo-woo about this, Whitley, I just feel I was directed to do this work. Everything just seemed to point into that direction. And as I opened my practice, in 28 years ago, I began receiving referrals from people who feel they may have had contact. And I thought, you know, it was going to be a very small percentage of my practice because I really do enjoy doing hypnotherapy, but it just became something that I started specializing in, and I just can't believe I've been doing this for so long.
Well, I can certainly, and now if people want to get in touch with you to do this with you, what do they do?
They could email me at, should I go ahead and say
the email
sure.
now? Absolutely. Say it.
Okay. My first name, Yvonne, Y-V-O-N-N-E, the number 4, and then PTSD, as in post-traumatic stress disorder, at gmail.com.
Okay. Free Dreamlanders, we're going to take a very brief break here, but before we take the break, I am hypnotizing you in my own special way into getting up and doing exactly what we suggest that you do in these commercials.
When should you subscribe to UnknownCountry.com? How about right now? Go to UnknownCountry.com and click on the subscribe tab on the masthead. We offer subscriptions either by credit card or PayPal, either automatic renewal or annual or longer subscriptions without auto-renew. Plus, it's easy to cancel if you wish. Do it right in your account.
And do we ever need you right now? And do you ever need us? The new UnknownCountry.com is beautiful. It is fully functional. The whole archive is working. It's full of amazing stuff. Plus, this is the only place like it in the world. Keep it going. It's up to you. Go to unknowncountry.com. You know what you have to do. It's only a few pennies a day. It's not a big sacrifice, but it means an awful lot.
There are hundreds of charitable organizations in the world, but you have to have a sharp eye to be sure your money is going to where it's needed and not into the pockets of overpaid administrators. That's why Whitley Strieber and UnknownCountry.com support the Mercy Corps. It's non-sectarian, it's lean and efficient, and it goes everywhere on earth that people are in need. When you contribute, you can be sure that most of your dollar goes right to the homeless, the starving, and the desperate. Go to Unknown Country and click on the Mercy Corps Foundation ad on the left side of your homepage. A $10 gift can put food on a child's plate and shoes on his feet. Unknown Country and Whitley Strieber receive no compensation from the Mercy Corps.
Whitley Strieber's nonfiction is magical, powerful, and thought-provoking. From communion to the afterlife revolution, there is no body of work like it in the world. Nothing even approaches it. And not only that, his wonderful fiction, from The Wolfen to his latest novel, New, offers reading and listening entertainment that you will never forget. And where do you find all this in one place? At Strieber.com. That's where every Whitley Strieber book available for sale is there. So don't wait. Go to Strieber.com and start exploring. There's only one Whitley and only one place to find all his work. Strieber.com.
We're talking to Steve Neal and Yvonne Smith on Dreamland today. Steve Neal's website is https://steveneal.art.blog. You can reach Yvonne at cerointl.com. That's cerointl.com, or email her at the email address that she gave. We will repeat it during the course of the show. And you can get involved with Ciro. They have regular meetings here in Southern California. Yvonne is a very skilled hypnotist who's been working with Close Encounter Witnesses for many years, so probably nothing you can say will surprise her, although that's always possible in this wild experience. Steve, let's go back to the early days of Steve Neal. You got hooked into this somehow or another. What happened?
Well, I read your book.
Well, no, I mean, but before that.
before that, when you were a kid. That was the hook, line, and sinker, because prior to that, ever since I was a small child, a lot of things, and I know a lot of people heard it before, so I will summarize it, had happened to me since I can first remember. And, of course, the first encounter or memory I have is waking up into a condition in my room in the middle of the night around 3 a.m. where there was absolutely no sound whatsoever. I could hear my breath. That was it. And there were these lights searching the room silently. I mean, mind you, this is 1957, 58, right around in there. And the lights are coming in to my room from an angle that they couldn't really have come into from any kind of aircraft, because there was another building right next to us, another house. And they searched around the room, and that's when I had my first encounter. And this was not something that I shared with my parents or anyone. I kept it very secretive and to myself for years. And then, of course, I read The UFO Incident about Barney and Betty Hill, Travis Walton. I felt a real kinship with what I was reading. And in fact, I started drawing what I felt I had seen somehow on some level, although at that time, I really wasn't sure that I was having any kind of experiences like I was reading about. And then, bouncing forward to 1986, your book came out. I saw the book cover and I said, oh boy. And it kind of went from there.
Yeah, that happened to me too. When I saw that face, it turned out, it didn't know it at the time, but that I had seen that face in my childhood also, when I was face to face with it on December the 26th, 1986. It took actually hypnosis with Dr. Donald Klein for me to spontaneously regress back to my own childhood and realize it had been in my life, all of my life.
I thought they were fairies at the time. I mean, that was my explanation for them, and that they lived in the walls.
That's probably an accurate description. I think they were the fairy folk of the past. I mean, Tinkerbell, they weren't, clearly. But
no.
But earlier than that, the fairy lore is really scary stuff, and it really seems like it's about these people, frankly.
Mm-hmm. It does. I concur.
Yeah, that you mentioned Bud a little while ago, Yvonne, and
yes.
You know, Bud and I had a fraught relationship because of the fact that I'm kind of a wild hare, and he was used to being the one who made all the decisions about what was going on and so on and so forth, and then I came along and with my usual sticks of dynamite and whatnot, but anyway, he was a very important pioneer. None of this would be like it is if Bud hadn't been there, if Bud hadn't stepped up and defined this in some very, very basic ways. So,
absolutely. I agree.
I always honor Bud whenever he's mentioned on my radio program or anywhere else I am. Now, Yvonne, let me ask you this. Are most of your close encounter experiencers people who have had it from their childhoods? Or is that common?
Oh, absolutely. It is really where it starts. It's very, very unusual if I have a person that didn't have experiences in childhood. However, what's interesting is many people don't recall their early childhood. And that could be for a very good reason, that they may have had these experiences and they've been blocked. But it does start in early childhood. I have found that little children at the ages of 4 and 5 years old will start talking about something coming into their room, or they saw something. My own youngest son, started talking about these things when he was about that age. He would tell me that there was a big spider, tall spider in the corner of his room that would talk to him. So and of course, as I'm sure you know, and I know Steve knows, it runs in the family.
It does run in
generational.
Families.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's going to be in my next book about the family connection, because I don't think many people realize that it does. I mean, it just runs in the family. And that's what, frightens people, because they have children and they feel that they can't protect their children from it.
Yeah, I know the feeling very, very well.
Well, I do too.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Because it's not possible to protect anyone from it. If it's going to come into your life, it's going to come into your life.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to be very upfront with my clients when they ask me how could I protect my children, especially the fathers. You know, they feel they're the protectors, and yet they can't. They don't know how. They're frozen. You know, they're they're rendered paralyzed. I mean, my own husband, ex-husband now, was very angry about this when my young son would, you know, wake up with nosebleeds and, you know, wouldn't want to sleep in his room and all of that. And he just would become very angry. And, you know, that's why he's my ex-husband today. It does affect families, it affects relationships, marriages, and that's the part that's so unfortunate about this experience.
Oh, absolutely. I was afraid my wife might divorce me when I told her about it. And I told a friend first, and he said, "Oh, tell Ann. She's not going to divorce you." And Ann's reaction, we'd been having a lot of fights over this because I was trying to push her away. Because I didn't want her to have to be married to a psychotic. Finally, I realized it wasn't psychosis, and I told her, and her reaction was really classic. I said, "I think I've been abducted aboard a UFO by little men." And she said, "Oh, thank God, I thought you were crazy."
I love it. That's so Ann.
It's so deeply Ann.
Sure,
yeah, exactly.
It sure is.
Well,
it
sure is. And very fortunate that, you know, you both were strong enough together and stay together. I just wish, you know, I could have had that in my marriage.
Yeah, of course you do. You know, I think it was either a miracle or intention that Ann and I came together because, you know, Ann was really, really good at handling this. That's all I can say. Not handling the visitors. She only had one or two encounters with them, but handling the situation and me. Now, let me ask you this, Yvonne. You will sit with a group of people. Very often Steve is there, and I'm going to come to you next, Steve, about this.
Sure.
What do you actually do in this group? But before we go there, we're coming up on another break for our Free Dreamlanders. Free Dreamlanders, I would suggest you subscribe so you don't have to be Free Dreamlanders anymore and listen to these commercials.
Ever wonder what the Close Encounter experience is all about? Think you know what it's about? When you open Whitley and Ann Strieber's Immortal Communion Letters, you're going to experience a whole new vision. Not something being told to us by researchers and theorists, but the actual testimony of people who came face to face with this unknown. Unforgettable. And the book is only $3.99 at Strieber.com.
Subscribers, did you know that there is an organization out there for experiencers that offers a lot of free services? It's called Experiencer.org. It's the free organization originally founded by Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and it's there for you, Experiencer.org.
Some of the most thrilling, mind-opening interviews ever recorded are in the Dreamland Archive. Open your mind to Sir Lawrence Gardner's brilliant vision of the past. Listen to Russell Targ's phenomenal insights about ESP. Be inspired by Dr. Eben Alexander's stunning near-death experience. Listen to an actual recording from a plane as it was attacked by a gigantic flying disc. Be transported to a new level of inner grace with Whitley Strieber's meditations. Enjoy The Communion, Transformation, Majestic, Secret School, and Superstorm audiobooks, and so much more. The UnknownCountry.com subscriber section. As little as 10 cents a day. Priceless.
This is Whitley Strieber. I'm talking to Yvonne Smith and Steve Neal. Steve Neal is a, like me, lifelong close encounter witness. Yvonne Smith is one of the great experts on this, a professional hypnotist, licensed hypnotist. You can find her at CiroIntl.com. That is CiroIntl.com. Used to be Close Encounter Research Organization. Now it's Close Encounter Resource Organization. Can you tell us your email address again, Yvonne?
It's my first name, Yvonne, Y, V as in Victor, O, N, N, E, the number 4, and then PTSD as in post-traumatic stress disorder at gmail.com.
Okay, and you can reach her there, and they have monthly meetings in San Pedro, California, 1624 South Pacific Avenue. You can get involved in this if you want to, or you work with people over the phone, don't you, Yvonne?
I only do phone consultations. I don't do hypnosis over the phone or on Skype. I wish I could.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a little dicey.
It's dicey. There's a lot of liability. You know, I have to be there hands-on with my client in case they do, and then many times they do go into trauma because they're reliving the experience.
Right.
So, I get emails now from all over the world. When I started this, we weren't emailing. We were, on the phone. But now, we at a touch of a button, we're in touch with people all over the world. And
right.
I wish I could do this on Skype, Whitley. It would help a lot of people. But I just, I feel I have to be right there with the client.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. That sounds like the responsible way to go, because you can't have a person having a traumatic experience alone in a room with a hypnotist at the other end of a phone line or FaceTime or something.
Yeah. I couldn't.
Absolutely. Steve, how did you first come into contact with Yvonne?
Well, I was reading UFO magazine, and I was starting to do art on the subject matter with sculptures and paintings. And I reached out to Don Ecker and Vicky, and first met them and started doing some work for the magazine. And as I was reading the magazine, I saw that very early article. I still have it somewhere that showed Yvonne and her group. And of course, by that point, I had read your book, and I knew that something was going on in me. Now, I knew I had a bad situation with my late wife. With this subject, because she was not good with it at all.
No, yeah, I know that.
Be.
I know
it never would be.
Listen a little bit between the lines here. Yvonne mm-hmm. struggling with her husband, Steve mm-hmm. with his wife, and folks. I know a lot of you have these kinds of struggles. Mm-hmm. A lot of you do, because the spouse often does not get it at all. But go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, not even when they see it with their own eyes, and then they accuse you of making them crazy. But it went further than that, because then when my mother-in-law would come to stay with us, I would wake up in the morning, and Jilly and Beth would have some recollection of something weird going on in the night, but we weren't supposed to talk about it. And then her mom would come to the breakfast table and say, "What were all those bright lights and that noise I heard last night?" And I'd get this look from my late wife, like narrowing her eyes, like, "You don't say anything." There was a real friction there the whole time. So when I was mm-hmm. going to see Yvonne, she was under the impression I was just doing artwork, working with her clients, and doing drawings of what they were experiencing, trying to bring their experiences and putting it on paper and on paintings and stuff. I did tell her that I was going through hypnotherapy also to research and look into my own past and present with this material, but she chose not to hear it. So that when one day it came down that I had to remind her that's what was going on, it was one of the worst scenes I'd ever been in with my late wife. I mean, it was like something out of a movie. I found that more terrifying than anything else. So
of course you did.
Yeah, it even now, just reliving it, just in the second that I'm talking about it, it's just awful. But going back to the original question, that's how I met and reached out to Yvonne. And I remember my very first pre-session with her, where I went and saw her, and we talked about my past and my history with this, some of the things I experienced. Then she put me through a procedure to see if I was suggestible and I could be brought under hypnosis. And I remember her telling me that my arm felt as light as a balloon and it would float, and it did. And I remember that was the first time I realized what it felt like to be under hypnosis, because as much as I tried to stop my arm from rising up, and I did try, it floated up. It was just an amazing experience. From there, we went on and started regressing me back to my early childhood. I remembered a lot of stuff from my childhood, but there were a lot of details that came out. And then there were more recent experiences at that time that were sketchy and had big black spots in them that we were able to bring more information out of under hypnosis. And it allowed me to better focus on what I was seeing, bring it, clarify it, so I could actually draw the beings the way I was actually seeing them. And we started working together, and she started using my art in her lectures. And it kind of went from there, and I just kept doing the work.
Yeah, I had a remarkable experience at a Steve Neal lecture with his art, which I will tell you all about very briefly in just a moment. Free Dreamlanders, we'll be right back. We're talking to Steve Neal, an experiencer, Steve Neal, and hypnotist and counselor, Yvonne Smith. Yvonne is the head of Ciro International. That's Close Encounter Resource Organization International at CiroIntl.com. Steve Neal is at Steve Neal, Steve, Stephen, I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. Stephen Neal's art.blog. You better click through to that from the Dreamland page.
Yeah, it's actually Steve Neal's art.blog. And it's actually a website. It's not a blog, but that's the address designation is blog. There's an actual menu at the top of the page, and there's a lot of information on that website.
There's a lot of information there, and there's going to be on August the 24th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Steve Neal's studio on DuPont Circle in Ventura, California, an exhibition of Steve's art. And now this is what I want to tell you about Steve's art, folks. Not long after Steve and I first met, I was at a UFO conference. I have no idea which one. You may remember Steve. But in any case, I was sitting there watching Steve talk about his experiences and show his art when really, for the first time, in a completely undeniable way, my implant turned on. It started, my ear got bright red, and it started making a noise inside my head, and it was startling. And it was all one picture of the grays after the other that caused this to happen. So I just thought I'd sort of put that out there. So this art is powerful, especially if you're a close encounter witness. You shouldn't miss this. Now, that said, getting back, Yvonne, to this question of the friction in families. You must have a lot of clients who come to you and say, what do I do? Do I dare to tell my spouse and or my work coworkers? What do you say to them?
Oh, gosh, it is such a problem within the experiencers. As I mentioned, I had that experience. Steve had that experience. That's why when I founded the support group, I thought it was important to also invite the significant others, you know, family members, a support person, so they could come into the meetings and meet other people, meet these experiencers and realize they're from all walks of life. You know, we're not sitting there with tin foil on our heads. I mean, if you walked in, you know, people would go, gee, this might be a, you know, homeowners association meeting. I mean, it's, you know, people are just people, but they're having these strange experiences. So I try to encourage them to come and meet other like-minded people and bring their spouse. But I have so many, I mean, numerous clients that I work with that do not dare to tell their spouse, at least at this time, that they're coming to me to uncover these memories. They're telling them, you know, I'm going to go and see a hypnotherapist for stress. And it's just, you know, you never know how the spouse is going to react. Some are very positive. Others are, you know, not so positive as we've experienced. So it is, you know, every person's different, of course. I mean, when I've been divorced for 20 years, I haven't dated for the last 8 years. Number one, I don't have time. But number two, I thought, okay, if I happen to go back into that dating world, I am going to tell that person, number one, that this is what I do. This is who I am. You know, if I'm going to scare the person away, I might as well do it in the very beginning. So that's how I feel about, you know, my personal life. But everybody's different. So I just work with each person and just take it as it comes and try to be there as a support for them.
Yeah, that's really all you can do, because everybody's life is different and they have different stresses and so forth and so on. Steve, what happened to you? I know Jilly passed on, but what happened? What is your situation now, if I may ask?
Well, of course, I met Mary, and we had met over the internet from a dating site, which was kind of an odd thing. A friend of mine put me up to it, and it was kind of just a joke. And he said, "Well, you know, you might have a girlfriend to talk to. I mean, it's nothing more, just somebody to talk to. You're all alone in the house, and you know, all this horrible stuff happened to you." So I thought about it for a couple of weeks, and I finally said, "You know, what the heck? I'll try it." And I had all these people contacting me and wanting me to take care of them, that kind of stuff, because they thought I was some rich and famous Hollywood person because of my career, you know. But then I got sent a profile that was a match, like 97% match, and it was this beautiful woman, and I just said, you know, I'm going to write to her and just say, I think you're beautiful, and you probably never will write back. And that was Mary. And of course, we Skyped before we actually met in person, and I said, I got to tell you something about myself, because you're going to find out one way or the other. And if it scares you off, then, you know, and I told her that I've had these experiences and stuff, and she was quite relieved that it wasn't something else, like I had a few years to live, or some other thing, you know. So that's it. And I said, yeah. Oh, well, she didn't think that was a problem at all, you know. So that was a very good start. That, and the fact that she told me that her favorite holiday was not Christmas, it was Halloween. So I knew it was love at first sight at that point in time, that that is also mine. But she is fantastic with it. She has been, over the last 6 years that we've been together, present to many encounters and many odd things happening in the house and in the sky, triangle graph and all that. And it just rolls off of her.
Free Dreamlanders, it's time yet again to listen up.
Notice anything unusual about Unknown Country? When you land on the site, you don't see ads about things you've bought or things some data miner thinks you might like. Why not? Because when you come to Unknown Country, your visit is private. We don't use data miners. We don't report to them. When you come here, we leave you alone, which is as it should be everywhere. Another thing you don't see are video ads that start when you least expect it, pop-ups that interfere with your reading, clutter that distracts you. What do you see? Stories that go in depth, that see beyond where the general media will take you, but don't seek to confuse you with sensation and hoaxes. Plus, a gigantic news archive that's easily searchable with our powerful search engine and entirely free. Unknown Country. The internet as it ought to be. The truth that others will not tell you. Want to keep it coming? Join us today. Click on the subscribe tab on the masthead and get started. Unknown Country needs you, and you need us.
You've probably heard the music for years. It's the theme song for Dreamland. But you may not know the name of the piece, The O of Pleasure. Or the name of the composer, Ray Lynch. Ray Lynch is a 3-time Billboard Award winner. Ray is also the composer of the platinum album, Deep Breakfast. Pandora calls Ray one of the most influential artists in New Age pop and adult alternative circles. For music that will move your heart and set your spirit soaring, visit www.raylynch.com.
Did you know that pet dogs are routinely stolen from their homes in Thailand and smuggled to Vietnam under atrocious conditions, and then slaughtered for food? Worse, the slaughter is brutal because it's believed that it makes the meat taste better. Of course, there are many larger problems in the world, but not to these dogs, and the Soy Dog Foundation is there to help them. Dog has given man everything he has to give, heart, soul, body, and mind. When he calls to us in need, we have to answer. Go to unknowncountry.com and click on the Soy Dog Foundation ad on the left side of the homepage. A $10 gift today can save a dog from this terrible suffering tomorrow. Unknown Country and Whitley Strieber receive no compensation from the Soy Dog Foundation.
Free Dreamlanders, we're back. Subscribers, of course, we never left. And I do hope, in all seriousness, Free Dreamlanders, we don't get that many subscriptions, especially not in the summer when everybody's doing everything else. But, you know, we need you. And this is not about, it's not a money-making operation, obviously. If you see a huge website like this, all this stuff on it and, you know, no ads, it's a subscription-based system. It is not, so we need you. Let me put it that way. I don't want to belabor it. If you want to join, you can use PayPal or credit card. It's very easy to do. I have to say that Nikki Thomas, our subscription manager, is excellent, and she's a very nice, warm person too. It's not like going to tech support at some big company, believe you me. Anyway, assuming you need it, which most people don't because it's terribly easy to use the site. The whole archive is now available. The search engine is working perfectly, and you can find the most amazing things in this website. It's a huge archive dating all the way back to 2004. It is without question the largest archive, certainly the most extraordinary, in my opinion, archive of its kind in the world. So now we're going to be concentrating on Yvonne's work a little bit more in this half hour, because in the third half hour, Steve Neal is, like many close encounter witnesses right now, having a lot of experiences. You know, I just got an email this morning from a close encounter witness in Canada who is saying that what is going on here, her husband, who usually does not have experiences, woke up frantic in the middle of the night because somebody was opening and closing their bedroom door, and their little dog, who normally will respond to the presence of the visitors, was dead asleep. And he was just, the guy is very upset. And I know Steve's been having a lot of stuff going on too, and he's not alone. Oddly enough, Whitley Strieber has gone quiet. I haven't had a thing happen to me in months, and about 3 months. And, I also was at the house in Texas where the visitors used to show up all the time. The last time they showed up there was February. Not a peep. Anyway, so it's an exciting time for a lot of reasons, and we'll explore with Steve what he thinks that is, what is going on, because something is. Now, Yvonne, let me ask you this. What is your sense? You've got your finger on this in an absolutely unique way in the world, because folks, there are not many people in this world who are doing this like Yvonne is, with what I would describe as a high level of professional finish. So, you know, she knows what she's doing, I think. So, do you sense a quickening of any kind?
Oh, gosh, yes. There are several, well, I'll talk about within Ciro. You know, we have a couple hundred members right now going in and out. They don't all attend the meetings all at the same time, but within this last couple months, there has been quite a bit of activity with several members. When I get an email or two from the members, then I'll send it out to the rest of the group to comment and ask, has anybody else having experiences? And they'll comment back and forth. You know, I ask them to reply to all, so we're all on the same page. I've had members coming up very, very recently with body marks that appeared overnight. And so there seems to be a heightened bit of activity lately, and people that, you know, are not in Ciro in my group. I just returned from Roswell, and there about 5 years ago, I started a support group there where when I speak at the conferences, I will have an experiencer session for 2 hours with people that come in from all over, and they have the opportunity to share what they have been experiencing, whether it's back in childhood or very recent. And again, people are having experiences within the last couple months. So I also want to pose a question to your audience, Whitley, as I pose this question when I speak everywhere, because I have found that the last 5 to 7 years on a consistent basis that experiencers have been telling me, I mean, whether they're brand new coming into my office or people that I've known and worked with and within our group, that they feel that they are supposed to do something very strongly. They're supposed to do something. They don't know yet what it is. Many of them the last couple years or so are feeling that something is going to happen soon, that things are quote-unquote ratcheting up. When I wrote my latest book, Chosen, From the Alien Hybrid Program to the Fate of the Planet, I devoted the second half of that book to what I term the urgency. So I wanted to, you know, I wanted to put it out there to your audience to ask and ask them to write me or write you if you have had this urgency and how long have you been feeling it.
And to write you, let us know your email address again.
My first name, Yvonne, Y-V-O-N-N-E, the number 4, PTSD, as in post-traumatic stress disorder, @gmail.com.
I'm back in February. The visitors came after me for not working on this book I've been working on myself fast enough. It was really intense, absolutely appalling, very intense. They don't, you know, they're not, well, let's put it this way. Wherever they come from, diplomacy has not been invented there yet. I can assure
right.
you.
No I
question
agree.
Whatsoever. In any case, so there is a definite urgency, and they back off whenever they get me started writing on a book, then they back off. So it's nothing new that they're not in my life right now. In any case, what do you think it's about? Do you have any sense of this, Yvonne?
Well, I don't feel that it's, you know, we're facing the end of the world or anything like that. You know, we all went through that, the year 2000 coming up, like, you know, everything was going to blow up, the computers were going to blow up. And then we went through 2012, you know, the Mayan calendar, it means the end of the world, and nothing happened. What has really struck me is that none of these experiencers have predicted a date or a time or anything like that. And it really made me take notice. Many feel that it's going to be a change where there's going to be a spiritual awakening with many people, which I feel that's probably pretty accurate. But they are also stocking up on extra food, extra water, generators. And we should do that anyway. I mean, my goodness, yeah. When I was in Roswell, there was 2 major earthquakes here.
You know, I have an urge to do that myself. I was found myself on Amazon looking at generators the other day, and I thought, why are you doing this? But I'm amazed at that, but it's true. Yeah. It is true.
It's a good idea. I mean, and I know the earthquakes don't just happen here, but other places have the hurricanes and tornadoes and all of this. We don't get any warning. So they're stocking up. They have been doing this. And I'm doing this as well. But I still, you know, we don't know for sure what it is. It was really happening, that urgency feeling, right around the 2016 election time. But the experiences are telling me, no, it really has nothing to do with the election, although they were very tumultuous during that time, the elections and so forth. But they said it was happening before that, and it's still happening. So whatever it is, I don't want to alarm the audience. I really don't feel, as many of the experiences don't feel or sense that, you know, the world's going to end. But if there's going to be a change, and who knows, with the Navy pilots coming forward, talking about what they saw flying with them, they didn't know what it was. They have it on tape. Some are the pilots that want to be on silhouette in fear for their careers, but others have come forward as well as the retired pilots. You know, there might be something there brewing. Who knows if our visitors are going to just show themselves. And our government, who's been holding this back from us for all these years, aren't going to have a choice but to say, okay, we've lied to you. You know, I mean, it's absurd. We all have the right to know. But I think what's going to drive disclosure, Whitley, there's a lot of talk about disclosure.
There's a lot of talk about it. Yes, absolutely.
And yet I
have a feeling that's not where it's going to come from. I think you're right. I think it's going to come from the other direction when it comes, because they ultimately, I think, have always probably been pretty much in control of the situation. They've put the government in a position where it really doesn't know enough. If you think about it, if it was officially announced from the White House that this was real, what the president would have to say would be, well, we do have evidence that there are beings from another level of reality or another world here. We're really not sure of their origins. And then within days, your phone would be ringing off the wall because CNN, Fox News, the BBC, everyone would be wanting to know about, what about these close encounter witnesses?
Absolutely. And I think that's what's going to drive the disclosure even more and make it stronger, are the experiencers coming forward. Like yourself, Whitley, you were a very, you know, famous author. You know, your books were made into movies. And here you came forward with communion. And here communion, I'm telling you, still to this day, new clients come into my office and they tell me that when they saw that cover and they read your book, that's what opened those doors for them, thinking, oh my God, maybe this is it, what I've been experiencing. So thank you again for coming forward and writing
that
book.
Yeah, thank you, Whitley.
Thanks. Well,
absolutely.
At the time, I had no idea of the effect the book would have. I thought it would be a rather minor book of mine and sort of a, you know, a sort of a one-off, but it was just such a fascinating story, I couldn't resist writing it. And I said to Bud, how many people do you think are involved in this? And Bud was no fool. If he'd said, well, I think it could be millions, he might have realized, well, maybe he won't write the book. He won't publish it because he'll be scared of the consequences.
Right. Right.
And so he said, well, just a few. It's not a very widespread. Which, of course, he knew was not the case.
So I went ahead
and wrote the book, and I told my publisher, it's a one-off, you know, and the publisher said, and they thought to themselves, I should have been able to see the dollar signs in my editor's eyes as an established author like me comes out about being abducted by aliens. I was just way too naive about all of this.
I hadn't thought
about flying saucers since I was 12 years old when this happened to me.
You were meant to write it. Just like me feeling I was directed to do my work, you're most likely directed to write that book.
And we were all supposed to meet each other.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Exactly. Well, listen, as far as directed to write it is concerned, when I was writing it, a little light was flashing up and down on my desk, which if it, you know, I could only see it out of the corner of my eye. But if I, a couple times I managed to put my finger on it, my thumb on it, and it was a little, I could feel a little disc under my thumb that would slowly slide out from under my thumb. And then when I started writing it, and after a while it would start hopping up and down again. And I, you know, so yeah, there was definitely someone else involved.
Oh, definitely.
Well, anyway, let's go on, Yvonne, because we're at a point in the planet's life where we're coming to the end of what's called an interglacial, and the planet's atmosphere and so forth and climate are in upheaval, and human activity has increased the intensity of that very greatly. Mm-hmm. And this is all going to change. I mean, when I look in the news on my website, I see every few days a new incredible article about what's happening to the planet. And, you know, I do feel a sense of urgency, and I have a feeling that, I mean, tell us what you've, What is your sense? You know, you were kind of, I don't blame you for being guarded about it, but if you asked, let me rephrase this. If you asked a group of people in Ciro, you're having a meeting, and you said to them, what will the form of it be? What will disclosure, what will happen? And later, Steve, I'm going to ask you the same question. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Yvonne, they would say? Would they say the government's coming out, or would they say the visitors are going to show up? And if so, how?
You know, none of us are feeling that the government is just going to come forward on their own. They feel that it's going to happen, as I mentioned before, their hand is going to be forced. And it is the experiencers coming forward in masses. I have two retired lawyers. One was an assistant attorney general in Virginia. People like this, like yourself, many others, coming forward and saying, you know, all right, I'm a surgeon. I've been working as a surgeon for 40 years, but I've also had these UFO experiences. You know, I mean, what are people going to say? My God, he saved lives. He's not crazy. You know, I feel there's going to be a turn. And I think we're getting there in the general public's eye that, you know, something is happening. I know it's difficult, but I encourage more and more people to come forward because there's so many of us now. There's help out there. I'm going to be doing a training with therapists who are interested, and they've told me they're interested, hopefully at the end of the summer, early fall, because I would like to establish therapists in all of our 50 states to begin with, because we don't have, as you mentioned, we don't have enough people doing this work. And it is so needed. This is a worldwide phenomenon, as we all know. So that's my urgency right now, is number one is to get this training started, and number two, get my next book out to give people more information.
Yeah, and you know, the question of what is necessary, what do people need from you? In other words, it is important that somebody do something, because why do you think it is we can't remember? Just remember, because I know I can't. I couldn't remember any of this until Dr. Klein opened my mind to it. Now I'm fairly good at remembering what happens to me, but only fairly.
Sure. Yes. It could be from the alien being, establishing in each person a block, and they tell people, you're not going to remember. But it doesn't seem that their block is very effective. If I can get in there and chip away at, you know, the memories, sometimes it's floodgates open because someone's waited for so long to want to know what happened. It's also our subconscious mind job is to protect us. So it's partly our subconscious blocking out some of the trauma, which it does when not any of us suffer a trauma. But if people go to a skilled hypnotherapist who is open to working with abductees and experiencers, they're going to be able to begin to remember what has happened to them. That's where the healing begins. That's where the trauma begins to dissipate.
Yeah, and the thing that troubles me is, do the visitors feel they need us not to know, and are they trying to hide, or is this just a side effect of the trauma? Do you have any sense of that?
You know, lately, yes, it's a side effect of the trauma, so I think it's mainly our subconscious protecting us, but I've been feeling that if the visitors really wanted to block our minds, they would. We'd be millions of people would be walking around with no clue. But I really feel now, and maybe this is part of something coming down the pike, that they want people to know what happened. They want people to be enlightened about their experiences. Because for some reason, we are all being brought together. And they have been told, when the time comes, you will know what to do. It's like we're all going to be clicked on, and we all have a job to do.
Well, I sure hope so, because there are an awful lot of us.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask Yvonne a question before she left, because I think it's a pretty important one. One time during a session with Yvonne, I actually had visitor intervention during and under hypnotherapy. And I wondered if that has ever happened since or, lately to you, that the visitors actually within the hypnotherapy kind of took over or came in there and had some words to say as they did to me, and you could not wake me up until they let me go. You have.
Right. It has. It not often. I could probably count it on one hand.
Yeah.
But they have. They obviously know who I am and what I'm doing.
They called and you that woman.
Woman. They also told one of my clients many years ago, one of our original serial members, that we are being regarded zero as the power group. And I never forgot that. And that's why I feel that we are being brought together for a very specific reason.
And do we know any, do you have any sense of the reason?
Well, not specifically. I wish they would tell me, Whitley, because I ask them all the time. I just feel that it has a lot to do with the experiencers.
Yeah. Well, and what changes when they come out? When they're suddenly, we all know this. Are we?
I think we're, I hope we don't have a panic.
I think we will.
People will. I mean, they're going to try to get help.
Well, I think that, of course they are. I mean, and there's no help. I mean, the government can't help them.
Well,
I know that.
Definitely, they're not going to be able to help.
No.
And they're right. They're going to come to people like myself, the researchers, and ask, what is going on? What are we doing? I mean, we're going to be the ones then featured on CNN and all these shows and offering help to people about their experiences. And that's why I feel that urgency to get other therapists trained.
And, you know, what worries me is that there are also a lot of people out there. I mean, not all of them are ethical. I mean, let's face it. A
right.
lot of them are out there with agendas, religious agendas, or
yes.
basically, look at me kind of agendas, wanting to
yes.
be the leader
yep.
and the top dog. And those people are all going to be on CNN too.
I hope not. But that's why I want to establish the therapist that want to work with this, that we're doing work with PTSD, you know, and telling them, you know, this is not going to make you a millionaire, but you're going to be helping a lot of people. I don't have an agenda, and I don't want to be a guru like some people in the field. And to think that if you get in the field to want to make money, you're in the wrong field.
Yeah, anyone who successfully makes money in this field is doing something they shouldn't be doing.
That's right. Exactly. I totally agree.
It's never been about the money, but it has
been about. Better not be for me either. I mean, because I spend my money keeping them on my website and hoping books and movies make up the slack,
yes.
Frankly.
Most of it is out of pocket. It's out of pocket, as we all know.
Yeah, of course.
We want to see that new world if they can take it, as you so well put, Whitley, because it's really what it's about. The world we have right now is not working very well.
Well, it was Colonel Phil Corso who originally got that. I think it's the most important single thing that has ever been said to anybody by the visitors, and I think it's real.
I do.
He was
it's the key.
Yeah, he was in a situation where he's being asked to turn off a radar, folks, so they could leave a certain area. That's what he said, or that's what at least they told him. And you never know what the real final truth is. Maybe they were just trying to elicit this question from him. And he said, well, what's in it for us? Mm-hmm. And he said, if you want the radar off, they wanted the radar off for 10 minutes. And he said, 10 minutes is a long time in my profession. What's in it for us? And the answer was, a new world if you can take it. Very important.
Right. And maybe this is it, Whitley. I mean, and I had the honor and pleasure to spend time with Philip Corso and his family in Italy many years ago. It was, he was a fascinating person and very personable. And oh my gosh, you know, thank goodness for him coming forward. He said he did it for his grandchildren.
Yeah, that's what he told me too. And I had the pleasure of spending time with him in Florida and at the Roswell 50th anniversary.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
That epic conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Yvonne Smith, I want to thank you for being with us. You can email Yvonne at YvonnePTSD@gmail.com. That email address is also on the show page.
Oh, Whitley, it's Yvonne4, PTSD@gmail.com.
That's Yvonne4, PTSD@gmail.com. You can reach her at CiroIntl.com. That's CiroInternational.com if you want to get more deeply involved. Yvonne, thank you so much for your time today on Dreamland.
Thank you, Whitley. Thank you for having me. And bye, Steve. Nice to talk to you.
Bye, Yvonne. Nice to talk to you, too, as always.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now we're going to get down into the deeps of Close Encounter with Steve Neal. So, Free Dreamlanders, as always, telling you goodbye now. Remember that the message board on unknowncountry.com is thriving, and it is free. So if you absolutely do not want to spend any money on this, you can still become engaged and involved. There's a lot of free resources on Unknown Country. You can join the newsletter for free. You can use the message board for free. You can, of course, listen to the shows, do the news, all of that. This isn't about making money. It's about doing something really very important. So if you have a change of heart, subscribe. We would be so glad to greet you into our wonderful community.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.